If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlock, the world's number one sexiest Xbox podcast on our new set.
Right? Because of you, Marty.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's the Marty factor. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. To my right, Destin Legarry. To my left, Alana Pierce. Thanks. And Marty Sliva. Coming up on the show this week, not kind of a slow news week, but we've got the return of the Halo TV project.
Yeah.
Sort of. There's a big asterisk attached to that. A rumor about Marvel vs. Capcom 4, a possible tease of a new Duke Nukem Forever or some sort of Gearbox project, and a bunch of fun things that you can play in December, which is normally a pretty quiet month for things that are releasing. So more on that coming up. Shall we begin?
I'm very excited about all of the voices that we get to do in this episode.
What?
Oh, yeah.
We do? Well, obviously, we're going to do a lot of Duke Nukem, and then I have a Marvel vs. Capcom one, so... It's
going to
be a good episode.
Wow. Is it? Berserker Barrage.
It's that, but also
Capcom Presents Marvel Comics.
Yeah. Going to take you for a ride.
We're apparently developing. We're developing the game right here on the fly.
Yes. Yeah,
that's not going to go well.
In case it's not going well. But I wanted to start in sort of a slow news week with, the holiday season is officially here, so I thought it would be fun/super dumb to go around the table and make our Xbox holiday wishes. If you're filling out your list, Santa Spencer, what would you like from him? Destin, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. Well, guess what game I'm going to talk about? Big mystery.
Mass Effect or Destiny?
Yeah, it's Mass Effect.
It's a Mass Effect Destiny crossover.
How do you know?
Mass Effect-any?
They're actually in the same universe. And no, that's not true.
They're technically, aren't they? It takes place on our solar system.
Universe.
It is Mass Effect. That is the one that I'm
actually
picking.
Don't you fight
picking.
The Reapers in Destiny?
No.
That probably would have made for a better story, though, right?
Anything probably would have made for a better story basis.
But yes, what do you want to see, Destin?
Yeah, we've talked about a lot on the show. Seriously, though, a Mass Effect trilogy, actual remake, rebuild that. The Andromeda engine looks absolutely phenomenal. Maybe that's something that they are working on, and they just kept it really quiet. Something like that would have leaked, I'm assuming. But I would love it if they would just remake the original three, address all the problems with all of them. Maybe don't do them as separate products and just do them as one big product. Hey, we're releasing the trilogy.
One continuous game?
As one continuous game.
Like just sort of thread them all together? Oh, that could be
interesting. And they're all together. So, like, you know, make a decision about how you want the gameplay to play to be. Maybe get those tuning elements that the first one had. It was really clunky, but like you could change out your armor and you could add little things. And they had it so diluted by the third one. Like, bring that back. Like,
interesting.
You could do something really cool if you were to actually remake the trilogy as a one-disc game.
So maybe tweak the inventory management from the first game, which the PC version did.
Yeah.
So that kind of... And then get rid of the elevator rides, right?
Yeah, elevator don't need to be that long.
I would have a gameplay from 3 as combat.
Yep. I agree with that.
With 1, that's obviously way better.
Yeah.
And then...
I think they could even evolve it further. I mean, now we have the Andromeda engine, you know, they've probably analyze what was the best of gameplay stuff from 3, and they've improved upon it. So just use that and just remake the trilogy.
That's a long game.
It is. The one big thing, though, is obviously just revisit the ending. Maybe bring back Carpishan now that they've kind of wrapped on Star Wars The Old Republic.
You're referring to Drew Carpishan, the original writer of Mass Effect.
He wrote 1 and 2. He and Mac Walters really worked together on 2, and then Mac Walters did 3. But without that disconnect of losing your original writer, maybe they could come together and figure out a way to at least deliver the ending in a better way or tweak it. There were talks about like dark matter playing a part, Carpishan revealed back in 2012 about the game. And I've been playing through the trilogy, so I'm Mass Effect's on my brain lately, and that's why that was my on my wish list.
That is, of course, that is like the unicorn of remasters this generation, the one everybody wants that nobody can get.
Not remaster. I'm talking like what they're doing with Final Fantasy VII, not remake. Episodic.
Yes.
Not the episodic part, but a remake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like your I like your style. It's not going to happen.
That's a lot of chutzpah for a holiday wish.
Never will happen.
For me, I have had the Xbox anniversary on the brain. We talked about it, it was 2 weeks ago already. And so, you know, we recorded that Let's Play of Ninja Gaiden Black. Mm. And I said this at the time, or back when Itagaki left Team Ninja and Tecmo and formed his own studio, Valhalla Games, I thought, man, be really cool that Itagaki's got a great relationship with Microsoft. They've done a number of exclusive things together. Phil should sign Valhalla Games to do a sort of spiritual successor to Ninja Gaiden, because Phil talks a lot about filling gaps in the portfolio of the first-party portfolio.
Sorry, you said filling? Like filling?
EHIL.
Like Phil talks about filling gaps. It was very good. Sorry, continue.
Good catch.
Thank you.
Don't reward her for that.
Oh, I'm going to.
I thought it was pretty great.
It is pretty great.
Thank you.
It's Marty, like I'm segue, on her side on
but
this
not.
One.
It's just a great pun.
You just got Alana.
Pierced.
Yikes. The Rise of the Tomb Raider thing, he talked about like, oh, we don't have a sort of third-person action-adventure game, and that sort of fills that void in the portfolio. Well, guess what? They don't have a super cool high-speed, fast-action game either. Mm-hmm. And who better than Itagaki, who brought, by all accounts, it's mostly that core original Ninja Gaiden Team Ninja team that's at Valhalla Games. Yeah, Devil's Third didn't go so well, but that's your perfect chance in the, if you look at, you know, the like the stocks world, it's your chance to buy low on Itagaki-san and give him some money, let him make a spiritual successor to Ninja Gaiden, and it could be super awesome.
Saying Devil's Third didn't go well is probably the nicest thing I've ever heard anyone say.
It didn't go well.
It didn't go well. So yeah.
Disaster is another word you can use.
I'm going to cheat. If I can't get that wish, my other Xbox holiday wish would be for Mech Assault to come back.
Oh, nice.
With the controller thing. Yes. You brought this up.
No, that's Steel Battalion.
Oh, yeah.
No,
that's
there's no way. Yeah. Oh, it's in there. It's in the closet over there. But and I would love to see. I thought about like who could they realistically get to do it, and I'm
you
sure.
Play much Almond Cole?
I have not. No.
Okay, you should play that.
I should. When was the last time
the last Almond Cole?
Was it 4 or 3? Was the last?
It was a long time. No. It's been a while, right? Software, so that was long before.
Yeah, before
pre Souls. Yeah.
I was gonna say From Software. Work on something for Microsoft.
Yeah.
I don't know if that could happen, but yeah.
They're not owned by
but
Sony.
But Almond Cole is great. I mean, they do a good job. Of those games.
But I was thinking, I'm sure commenters will have better suggestions, but I was thinking about Epic. I mean, Epic's they're sort of helping oversee the fan remake of Unreal Tournament.
They're doing Paragon.
But they're busy with Paragon and Fortnite, but you know, they do own People Can Fly, who did Bulletstorm, which was a really good fast action first person shooter game back in the day. Back in the day, like 5 years ago. But I don't know. That I would love to see Mech Assault come back. Like, Microsoft straight owns the Mech Warrior IP, and they've done absolute zilch with it. Mm-hmm. So it'd be cool to see that return.
Did you play Vanquish?
A little bit.
Oh, that game's so good.
Vanquish
slide
is
on your knee
so
pads.
Good.
Yeah, like, I played the first couple hours of it.
It's so great. It's just anytime anyone talks about mechs, I just think of Vanquish, even though it's you effectively in yourself a small little mech man. I mean, you're not, but
I wasn't talented enough to finish that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
You just slide on your knee pads and you can do a whole boss fight.
Smoke cigarettes. You do. You just move like on your knees so much, just like flying around. Oh, that game is so much fun. But my answer is Goho. Very very
what?
Obvious.
I don't know what just happened.
It's obviously Banjo.
Oh. That was a banjo. I thought you were making a throat clear. I thought you were clearing your throat.
No, she's making the noise.
Did she just steal yours, Marty?
No, that's his. That's what. That's his voice.
Uh-huh.
No, no. Did she steal your wish?
Oh, no, I had two of them. I assumed she was going to do Banjo.
Damn it. Yeah, Banjo 3. I have less hype for a new Banjo because of Ukulele coming out, obviously, which I'm very excited about. But especially after Ratchet and Clank was so good this year, I would love to see a new Banjo game.
What would it look like?
Like the Nintendo 64 ones did? like Ukulele, I think? You know, I really wouldn't want it to be that different. I just want bigger, weirder open worlds, I think. Mm-hmm. And especially after, you know, I reviewed Skylanders this year and last year for IGN, it's like seeing how good those worlds look and how creative some of them are, especially for our Superchargers. The level design was awesome. And it's like, we've come a long way since the Nintendo 64 to have a Banjo game that facilitates those ridiculous and awesome and locations.
We are pre-game of the year meeting earlier today, and someone brought up Ratchet and Clank, and we brought up the fact that it seems like for the past 15 years someone has been saying, like, this looks like a Pixar movie, but like Ratchet and Clank running on a pro is the first
legitimately
thing
where
I'm like, no, actually like an idle animation looks like a Pixar movie, so I have no doubt a Banjo game next year running on a Scorpio could
we know that Rare still has the artistic talent. I mean, look how gorgeous Sea of Thieves is.
Absolutely.
So they've definitely got it in that department.
I now also want to say Vanquish 2, so
that's fair. That's fair. Marty?
You took both Martys.
Battletoads.
I think. I quit. No, I'd like to see Peter Molyneux the other day was talking about how he has ideas for a Fable 4 and how he's sad about what happened to Lionhead.
That was going to be my other option.
So either a Fable 4, a Fable trilogy collection, or a Fable 1 remaster. I mean, sort of, we already kind of.
Well, Fable Anniversary.
That. But like, just the ability to play those games very easily on the Xbox One, sort of via a single disc, maybe with the little bells and whistles added to it, a little bit of spit shine.
Good news for you, Marty. Fable the Journey for Kinect is now backwards compatible.
No, it's not. Oh, you don't remember. That game doesn't. Backwards compatible. Oh, too bad you threw out your Kinects.
Also, Kinect things aren't backwards compatible. Oh, I'm joking, in case anybody. Just to be clear.
Chicken chaser.
I forgot this was the voice episode.
There's so many options.
When we talked about that Fable 1 remake or reboot or relaunch,
I
or
was
whatever,
calling for it to be handed to Rare. That was my thing.
That would be incredibly exciting, and I would play that in a second. So imagine what they could do with today's.
I still think Rare is clearly all in on Sea of Thieves right now for probably the next year, but you know, you never know after that. If you know, because Sea of Thieves is clearly meant to be sort of a game as service and a game that lives on for a while, but they're gonna that won't require the whole studio. Whatever their next project will be, it probably wouldn't be Sea of Thieves 2. They'll probably just evolve what they have. So they're gonna be available for something.
It's already Banjo, so sorry.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Mixed.
Mixed.
You love Fable.
I don't think Fable's dead either.
I don't either. Yeah.
The name's too big.
I mean, I also think, one of the reasons I wanted to come back is because we have a lot of open world fantasy from Dragon Age and Witcher to, I mean, even fantasy is huge on TV with Game of Thrones, but all of it takes itself relatively seriously. I think the thing I like about Fable is it had that sort of cheeky Monty Python, very British sensibility to it, which I miss in games. I feel like a lot of games take themselves too seriously and don't really have a leg to stand on when it comes to that.
Fable has an actual color palette with more than three colors.
I mean, we didn't look it up before the show, but you guys know off the top of your head how well Fable stuff has sold lately? Like, is it kind of in the tank?
I imagine. Well, there's no lately. The Journey, which didn't. No.
Which was a Kinect game that didn't work because of Kinect. Like, the game itself was actually pretty good. I've probably told this story before, so apologies, but I mean, I reviewed it for IGN and I went in a perfectly set up Kinect room, and when it worked, which was genuinely about half the time, it was really fun to do hand motions to cast spells, but then it would inevitably just stop working properly.
And when you, for 35 seconds when you're doing this, you start thinking like, what's going on? It's 35 seconds, we're only 10 seconds into Atlanta, so just get used to it,
just buckle up.
Where I was going with that question was, do you think that they would need a rebranding because their brand is damaged from having doing things?
No, I think that the Journey was probably something that was pitched and then they were like, Then they were like, let's tie the Fable license to that.
You didn't even make it the 35
also,
seconds.
Also, people who are listening to the audio podcast, Marty was still
Marty
with his
Marty
hand.
Spun his hand in the air for
it was a fireball.
For like 25 seconds.
I launched a fireball.
I feel like Fable the Journey was, it was either something they were like, we need this for Kinect, we need to have a, I don't think it was meant to be a Fable game.
I'm pretty sure it was a Microsoft, I'm sure a corporate highly encouraged them to make a Kinect game.
Yeah, and I want to say it was shoehorned as a result of that. I don't think it was ever a genuine Fable thing that was meant to be representative of the entire series, and that's why I didn't play it, and I feel like a lot of other Fable fans probably didn't. They wouldn't have been soured by it, so I kind of don't feel like it's a factor.
Fable 3 gets a bad... Fable 3 wasn't a bad game. It was just a disappointment after the high of Fable 2.
And that's how I felt with 2.
So when you compare it to 2 and 1, it's really bad, but in the grand scope of things, it's still not that terrible of a product.
If in this hypothetical scenario where Rare gets the IP but finishes Sea of Thieves first, and then so then we don't hear about Fable for like 2 years, then enough time will have passed that the bad memories will have washed away, and people will be like, you know, I miss Fable, and then they'll announce it, and it'll be cool.
Also have a Netflix style service where for like $15 or $20 a month, I could play a bunch of old original Xbox games,
like. PlayStation Now.
Yeah. Isn't that basically? Except I could download them, so I don't have to stream
or just make them backwards compatible.
I mean, what? Yeah. I would have to put the discs in? I think that's very hard.
No, that's you a good get, point. It's very difficult.
Don't you usually you just get access to it, right, on your digital
EA,
account?
But original Xbox, like, do you have those?
Oh, original Xbox. Yeah, original. No, that's...
Yeah. So, okay. Marty, EA has that fantastic service. Like, I'm playing through Mass Effect right now, but I have EA access. I don't need the discs. They have the complete products available digitally.
But those
on
are 360
Xbox
games. That's the problem.
Those are 360. So, like, a cloud-based service, like you said. But if you have the discs, you don't have to pay for... the games,
I mean,
necessarily.
The problem is I just don't think the hardware of the Xbox One would recognize an original Xbox disc.
Why not?
It could be made to.
Oh, no, I don't think it would either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? They're just CDs, really.
They're DVDs that are encrypted
a
certain
way.
It's
so much more complicated than
it seems.
It's
the same reason you can't
just
put a PS2. Like, you have to download PS2 games for a PS4. You can't actually just put those.
I am confident that Microsoft could come up with a solution to recognize discs.
I'm confident they would rather have us pay for them.
Yeah,
that. Which I'm actually fine for paying for them.
But again, they did for the 360. So it's obviously possible. But that was really complicated. You know, it has to... completely emulate a 360, so it has to think it's running a 360, which is then running a disc. It's not like
you don't have to have it like how the Wii U boots
and
up into Wii mode,
exactly,
and like literally to an OS.
Yeah. If it can handle 360 software, then why not older software?
I think they could do that, but I think it would be very hard.
I think it's
and
more
maybe
complicated
not
than you
time.
Think. Yeah.
For well, it's. I think it's you're both right. I think the answer is actually in the middle. It's they totally
like
could do it.
Yeah.
It's more complicated than you think, but. The return on the investment it would take to do that
is low.
From hardcore olds like us, except
nothing.
For you, would
still players.
You're not
I'm
old.
Still a hardcore old.
wouldn't justify the investment.
Well, all I was trying to say was it's a good idea, Marty, but I feel like for those owners of the disc, they should have that solution for those people.
I mean, I don't even
where,
have a disc
where they
anymore.
Can play.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
even
but
have
there are people out
now.
There that are collectors. You
yeah,
know, that
absolutely.
Still have a lot of their Xbox discs that would like to pop them in and play. And it's been fantastic with the 360 backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see it continue.
Good. Yeah, I mean, this is a wish list. It doesn't have to be realistic. We had all three Mass Effect games in one disc. So,
yeah. Pie in the sky.
That's right. Why not?
I just want to play that forever. that's it.
I'm sure we'll get your Xbox holiday wishes in the comments below wherever this is, which for us is the floor, but it's for you, it's a screen.
Please don't break into the building and write on the floor.
That'd be pretty.
That would be
that'd
bad.
Be very scary.
It'd be like Dark Souls.
Oh. Fake wall here. It's a real wall.
There's that creepy baby face centipede thing. Yeah. Don't do that. Oh, God.
For Xbox News, let's talk about what's going on this week. This just broke today, which has worked out. Normally, we would have already recorded before this story broke. It so happened that we recorded later today. The Halo TV series. Remember that one, you guys? The whole Spielberg thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really excited.
Chief? Yeah. Halo TV is back.
Awesome. That's sweet. I was really excited until I read the rest of your description, Ryan.
It's not the Spielberg Halo TV series. It's a different Halo TV series. It is. This is via Variety, so this is the most legitimate of entertainment news sources.
Except us, of course.
Except
no, Variety's more legitimate.
Yeah.
Marty's right.
He's right, you know.
343 has signed a deal with TV production company Pilgrim Media Group to develop the competition-focused reality series. So it's an esport. It's a Halo 5 esports reality show.
I nearly did the thing where you spit the coffee out. Yeah, yeah. I actually nearly did that.
They're going to make a Halo 5 esports competition reality show. They're going to follow around a bunch of the competitors.
Kiki Wolf, sometimes when I'm playing Halo, I just got to really think about my life and...
Is that you doing the voice of an esports player?
Yeah, that's me as an esports player.
Is that the internal monologue?
Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to follow him around. It's going to be like, man, life's really tough. He's going to be eating a hot dog or something.
Don't most esports players retire at like 17?
Yeah, they're very young.
Yeah.
Like, you don't understand what goes into the competition.
You don't understand what's going on in the competition.
I don't mean to belittle them. They're at the top of their game. They're really good. I'm more belittling reality television than anything.
And how forced they ought to say things.
And like, the producers shoehorn them into these weird scenarios where they have an emotional reaction. And, yeah, I hate reality TV. Not anyway.
Tell us how you really feel, Destin.
Except for The Tester. Check out The Tester.
Kiki Wolfkill from 343 saying, quote, there is no better partner than Pilgrim to give our fans insight into the world of Halo esports. I mean, first of all, dropping the veil of jokery, this is totally a good move for Microsoft because esports is an absolutely exploding field. The growth is huge. So for them to kind of up Halo's visibility within that is very smart. And I actually, I know you're joking around, Destin, but
half joking.
If it's done well, it could actually be really interesting to follow these competitors around and see and
as long
watch
as it's
them
not
compete.
Forced BS. That's all I don't want.
Totally. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think like, that this is really, really interesting in concept, and I'd love to learn more about
it. I would rather have this done as a single one-off, like 30 for 30.
But fair
I
point.
Don't think 30 for 30 is ever 30 for 30 is the ESPN documentary series that each episode deals with a different topic, and even if you don't care about the topic, they're generally amazing
stories. Really good.
Yeah. I don't know if they've ever dealt with esports.
They did. I believe they might have done a Madden one once, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
stuff like that would be great, Marty. But nobody has ever taken it seriously like that. It's always like The Tester or what was that
hey,
other one?
I think The Tester is a great product. Go to IGN Start to watch it.
There was what was it? ABC or CBS had that reality TV show where a bunch of gamers lived in a house together and they created drama.
The Real
there.
World?
It was with Kardashians?
No.
I don't remember what
actually,
it was.
I know what I'm not sure.
About. But it was briefly on the air and it's no longer on the air. It's just like stop going that
Your
route.
Your house is pretty much like that.
Yeah. That's where I live. Yeah. Just where sad game is.
I would like more what Marty's saying and less of just the manufactured drama.
I mean, this also does a good push towards legitimizing Halo 5 as an esport.
Exactly.
In the realm of shooters, I feel like it's not held in the same breath as something like Counter-Strike. Or in the realm of esports, it's not held in the same breath as like League of Legends.
But
or Dota,
it is respected, but I see what you mean. Like, it doesn't have that same visibility layer.
And I think because of that, actually, that they will produce it seriously. I don't think that they'll make it overly dramatic or annoying or present people negatively for drama, because if this is funded by 343 in any way, then they want Halo to look as good as it can. So they want people to be represented well. They want it to look positive.
Yeah.
So I can imagine them not making it too dramatic or to be off-putting for people, I think.
Look at Jared's pockets full of soup. Every single person in this room has an interesting personal story to tell, and it doesn't have to be manufactured. It can be legitimate.
Except Ryan.
You had that amazing Maggie story last week and what you went through saving your dog's life. I love
it's
stuff like that.
It's a terrible story.
It's a terrible story, but Maggie's okay.
She is.
Yes.
Thank God.
And like, you went through that, and they could have been there following you through that experience. That is a real experience that you had that could have been filmed. Not only would have made good television, it would have been genuine, it would have been manufactured.
Yeah, me weeping in a at 1 a.m. in a or 2 a.m. in a 24-hour emergency veterinary
lobby. I nearly cried while you were telling
me.
Like, damn, man.
Yeah. I'm not saying to profit off of your misery.
No,
I'm just saying.
Tell a genuine
The
story.
Real you is more genuine than any manufactured BS that network television has created for the last 10 years.
That said, if we could profit off it.
Anything for IGN.
Also, shout out to Kiki Wolfkill for having a real cool name.
Very good name.
I'm sure she never gets tired.
No.
Her last name is Wolfkill. Can
her first
I
name's Kiki.
Her? Incredible.
She's super awesome and very nice.
Yes.
If I had a name like that, I would not be humble. I would be horrible.
Do you reckon she kills wolves?
She's the head of Halo Transmedia.
Now she is. Yeah, she was, I think, one of the heads of the studio. Not Bonnie Ross, but she was in sort of the management of 343.
The name's familiar.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome.
Yes.
What did she do? I'm just asking.
That's what
she worked. She worked for 343.
She killed several wolves.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with her gaming industry career prior to 343.
She had a delivery service beforehand. Shout out to Kiki's Delivery Service.
Such a good movie.
Oh, nice. Man. On that note.
See, I'm giving that one to Molly. That was great.
Thanks, man.
Fair enough. Marvel versus Capcom 4, this segment's for Alana.
Capcom presents Marvel Comics.
It is. It might be announced tonight, or it might have already been announced by the time you actually hear this episode. So Thursday night,
everybody
December
in the office
1st.
Remembered that Vince likes fighting games and apparently forgot that I love Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah, it's my favorite fighting game.
Oh, really?
About Soul Calibur.
Cool. Mm.
There's a rumor making the rounds courtesy of the wonderful folks at Polygon that is going to be announced at the Game Awards on Thursday night, December 1st. According to Polygon's report, the game's stable of Marvel fighters will pull heavily from characters featured prominently in the MCU, foregoing X-Men mainstays, who of course are under license
report
from Fox.
Yeah, Sony.
As far as the movies go, foregoing X-Men mainstays of the series like Wolverine and Magneto.
Now, those are two Top Gear characters that are in basically every competitive fighter's repertoire.
Berserker Barrage.
Yeah, Berserker Barrage, exactly.
Instead,
they're going to Berserker Barrage if he's not in there.
The report suggests characters like Ant-Man and Groot would more likely be considered for the roster of fighters in order to line up with Marvel's film output, which, first of all, if there's a Marvel versus Capcom 4, that's great news. But if the character roster is dictated by politics, that sucks.
Yes. Yeah. Totally agree. I carpool with Vince every day. We've been talking about this a ton. He basically says if they try and shoehorn in some Star Wars or Disney characters, he is done.
He's out.
And he will hate every second of what they're doing because it becomes then a marketing tool versus a more pure Marvel versus Capcom product.
They did that with Soul Calibur. They had Yoda and
I thought
Darth
it was
Darth Vader
and Spawn on the Xbox.
I'm being the voice of Vince. He of could Vince. Definitely defend himself a little better. I don't care.
I understand what he's saying.
Marvel versus Capcom is already a marketing thing.
It's
because
silly,
it's,
right?
Instead of making original characters, it's like, hey, are things that you're nostalgic about. Like, it's also a great fighting game. Yeah, and I also don't think, that would in turn become Disney versus Capcom. So I don't think Star Wars characters.
I don't think
we're going to get like Woody from Toy Story in there.
I want to see Maui and his hook and his shape shifting abilities. That's
Elsa versus Magneto.
Magneto won't be in it. No, Magneto won't be in.
Oh, yeah, Magneto can't be in it. Sorry.
Elsa versus Daredevil.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it totally. It does suck, but this makes sense. Marvel has been doing this with their comics. Marvel has been doing this with that Diablo-esque free-to-play game. They've sort of been putting MCU characters front and center. And with the comics, a lot of times it's hard to find an X-Men comic. They really put brands that are now part of the MCU front and center. So yeah, makes sense. Kind of sucks. I think one of the more worrisome things was there's also rumors going around this is a like Street Fighter V, this is going to be a PS4 exclusive.
Because that went well for players and for Sony and for Capcom, didn't it?
And they piecemealed it out.
And didn't it not sell very well at all?
Especially not compared to 4.
And it had a really bad launch, so.
Yeah, the game got better with time. But.
Yeah.
Oh, that's story.
I can't imagine
would be
that.
A real shame for Xbox owners to get frozen out on that again.
Yeah.
Yep. Money.
And a Capcom.
Yeah, but I guess probably by the time we know
let it go,
week,
Ryan.
We'll know.
What?
Frozen, let it go. No. All right.
Nailed it.
I'm just in general really happy.
You
should have
sung it. It would have been a better joke.
Let it go.
That's better.
Yeah,
it's too late.
I'm wondering
now
if the game's going to get like a visual overhaul. The jump from Street Fighter 3 to 4 was so drastic that I'm curious if we'll see anything like that here.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, how is it going to be different? Like, I think they'll stick to what they did with 3. They kind of modernized 2 with 3, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. They can't deviate too much from the formula.
I would be perfectly fine if it was incredibly similar to 3.
Yeah,
but you don't know. Maybe they'll go to 2-on-2. Maybe they'll just go to 1-on-1. Maybe they'll go to 5-on-5.
I don't think so. Like, that loses the heart of what that game has been since the beginning. Like, Street Fighter 4 didn't deviate that much from the Street Fighter formula. It added supers, which were cool.
Yeah.
Like, there's usually one or two mechanics that they introduce with fighting games that keep them pure but new.
It's also, we know how damn good Killer Instinct looks. Like, if it looks anywhere near as good, that would be awesome. Like, obviously, we have huge graphical upgrades since 3 Ultimate, which came out, I don't know, 4-5 years ago?
Yeah.
It was a while ago now, so it'll look great. I don't know what they could add that wouldn't annoy people, because Marvel vs. Capcom has a very dedicated esports base, so it would be tough.
Question for you.
NBC 3 was 6-7 years ago, right? The core NBC
3. Yeah, but then it's been a while. Like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
What was... has Marvel vs. Capcom always been developed internally at Capcom, or has that been...
I believe so.
I think so.
Okay, yeah. So theoretically, the talent could still be there that was from 3, 2, and 3. And
I'm pretty sure they
same
are.
Same team, or at least some of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see. If, like I said, possibly by the time you've... this has been announced by the time you've seen this or listened to this. And on that same note, another game that may have been announced by the time you catch this podcast is... some sort of maybe Duke Nukem related thing. So Randy Pitchford was teasing some sort of announcement on in replying to a guy on Twitter. So he was tweeted, a Duke Nukem Gears of War crossover would be pretty badass.
Don't think John's here. Wow.
Was that your Randy Pitchford impression?
No, that was the guy. That's
the other
John
guy.
St. John. Yeah.
It was John St. John's fake Twitter handle who was tweeting it.
Yes. Yeah. And Randy replied, on December 1st. But that Randy
is. He said on
Duke.
December 1st.
On December 1st.
No, like, that's not even the voice.
He's, wow.
He can do the voice better than I can.
How do you do Randy Pitchford's voice? That's what you have to do.
So wait, you think John St. John tweeted.
On December 1st, I will pull a magic trick out of my hand and it will be a video game. I think that's him. That's how it goes.
Nailed it.
Says, on December 1st, we are announcing something you might really enjoy. Smiley face.
You think he was flirting with that guy?
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
I mean, Twitter's a good place for good flirts.
Yeah.
What game titles would Duke Nukem want, Ryan? I just want the voice more.
So the guy asks a Duke Nukem Gears of War crossover, and Randy's like, hey, we're announcing something you might really enjoy. So it's not literally that. Obviously, because Microsoft owns Gears, that's not what he's talking about. Yeah. But is it like, is this the rumored Duke Nukem Begins project that Randy was allegedly wanting to kick up when he first bought the rights to the franchise? Will it be more like the Duke Knight Returns?
Oh boy.
And he's old and has to cope with living in the modern world where his
like
misogyny is no longer
right. Can you do Why Do We Fall to learn to get back up? But in the Duke voice.
But I can't do Michael Caine.
You dance, monkey, dance.
Why do we fall?
Why do we
fall? To pick ourselves back up, baby.
Yeah. So good.
Oh man, I could.
I can only say the Duck Nukem phrase, which is like, I'm
a big
some
dirty
eggs.
Duck. Some eggs on your staircase.
Big dirty duck. I'm gonna lay some eggs.
Thinking smaller, Duke Nukem and Killer Instinct. Just
possible.
You brought up Killer Instinct, and I'm like, well, the Gears of War character ended up in their RAM.
Yeah.
And maybe
Duke Nukem. RAM,
maybe. I doubt it. Like, I don't think Randy would tease something. Like, it's probably a full product.
Duke Nukem Battle.
I'm gonna ram my fist up your ass.
That's pretty good.
That would be a fighting game taunt.
Is it? I don't really think this would happen, but because of the way this is written, it's like, is it possible that Duke Nukem could become a multiplayer character in Gears? Like a skin? Like
that would be amazing.
I don't think that they would, but
that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if Run the Jewels can be in the game, and who else is in? There have been a few other cameos in Gears over the years.
That would be a really fun one.
Ice-T is in there, in Gears 3 anyway.
Gum gets up. I'm out to chainsaw your face, but I'm all out of chainsaw fuel.
No. But he's not going to go well.
I guess he'll have to use bullets.
The dude screwed up his lines.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Randy Pitchford's got something cooking for the Game Awards. So we'll see what it is slash was, depending on when you, again, consume our fine program here. Remember the MOBA Gigantic?
I do.
Prominently featured in one of the Microsoft E3 press conferences.
It's at PAX South, it was like the game the year that I went. I think it was the first year of PAX South.
Yeah.
So I'm very familiar with Gigantic.
And then it was going to be, like, it was heralded as one of the first, like, oh, it's a cross-play Windows 10 and Xbox, everybody play together.
That was a big deal.
And then it just basically fell off the face of the earth. It's just gone. Microsoft
been around.
Well, Microsoft dropped it.
Tests.
Yeah. But it has, you're right, development has continued, and it is happening. It is coming out, and there is a... open beta that's available on Xbox or Windows on December 8th. So if you're curious to check it out,
You can do so starting December 8th. The open beta will feature a total of 3 maps and 6 characters from a 16-character roster that will rotate on a weekly basis. So there you go.
Do you think it's the art style that people are fatigued on? Because we've seen a lot of that sort of look.
I mean, I think it's MOBAs.
Yeah?
That's what I was going to say.
I think if you're not Dota or League of Legends, then you have the very large uphill battle.
Everyone's trying to cash in, you think, and people just see right through it.
It's inevitable. Any trend, but MOBAs are such a case where I remember where we were talking about it, Marty. I think you were there as maybe either just a meeting or it may have even been publicly on a show. Doesn't Riot literally employ like 1,000 people whose sole job is to work on League of Legends
as a
platform?
To Magazine, they were Company of the Year.
Yeah. Sounds
like a terrible place.
You just can't. If you want to make a MOBA, how do you even compete with? You don't have the resources, no matter who you are.
Also, when like tremendously known IP like Lord of the Rings and DC tried to make MOBAs and couldn't compete, it's so hard to be a fresh IP with
new
characters.
I think the only one that really broke through after LOL Dota was Smite.
Fair.
Briefly.
Yeah.
I think the breakthrough of that was maybe the console thing. Like,
the
that's
Xbox
why
version helped.
It.
And it is.
I played that one. It was fun.
I like Smite a lot.
Yeah. I think it's regarded as basically the best MOBA you can play on Xbox.
Yeah.
I don't think there. Well, I mean, there aren't there? A lot. That's
on PS4 now as well, isn't it?
Oh, good.
I think it is.
No, I'm glad to hear that. But yeah.
What's
it's
that Gearbox game we make fun of a lot?
Battleborn.
Is that a MOBA?
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's a hero shooter.
Okay.
Not
which
quite.
Has MOBA-ish things, but I wouldn't put it in the same
realm.
They
also have the same kind of genre problem where it's very hard to compete. That got squashed by Overwatch, whereas maybe if Overwatch hadn't come out, it wouldn't. It's just hard to play more than one MOBA at a time, you know? And
those games demand your sacrifice.
I mean, it's hard to really full-time anything. Yeah, more than one thing. That's why it's like when we had 3 amazing first-person shooters come out in a 14-day span, it's like, well, something's got to give.
Yeah.
That explains why I'm like 1.5 missions into the Battlefield 1 campaign and about 2 hours into the Call of Duty campaign.
Yeah. You get fatigued a little bit.
Like, I chose Gears of War and I chose Titanfall 2. Yeah. Those were my choices.
Yeah. People are always like, you didn't play this game? It's like, yeah, because I played this game. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I finish so few games these days compared to when I used to. Part of it's because I just have more professional responsibility and personal responsibility at home. But the other part of it is exactly that, Destin. Is there are so many more games released now than there have ever been before. Dan Stapleton tweeted out a thing. It was for Steam, but it's still relevant. He tweeted out a pie chart that was like something like
36%
of all games on Steam were released in 2016.
Yeah.
That's
insane.
Yep. And Steam, by the way, for the record, is 12 years old. Because didn't Steam more or less launch around Half-Life 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's 2004. So there you go. I mean, that's just, who can keep up?
A lot of video games.
Even if it's your job to keep up, it's hard to keep up. Thank God we have a team to cover each other's.
Yeah.
Each other's.
Pro tip, make all your games 2 hours.
Don't do that.
Classic Marty.
Don't do that for us.
Please.
Just for just let Marty play all 2 hour games.
That's
what he does.
Yeah. That's what he does. Yeah, and then I got thrown on Mafia, and I'm like, "What the hell's going on?
I don't know what to
hours?
Do. Yeah.
What am I doing?"
Moving on. So that is the first of the last 3 news stories we have for the week, and all 3 are about games you can play in December, the normally pretty quiet month. I mean, I should remind you that not even on this list is Dead Rising is out next week.
Yeah,
Dead Rising 4. We just wrapped our month of coverage, so check out everything you might have missed.
Sean did a great job with the producing.
Sean produced it, did a great job, and Jose handled it like a champ on the edit side. So a lot of cool features.
It's cool. People seem to stick with the coverage also.
Yes, they did.
Like, they're excited for it.
People that are interested in Dead Rising are super interested in it. And
it's
and
also
really
one of those games smartly that was announced at E3 and hasn't really gotten a ton of marketing up until launch. Like Watch Dogs.
I really like that it's Frank Weiss again. I think that's awesome.
Everybody likes that.
Also, like, that's Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, like, they did other characters for the other games. It's just like, where's Frank?
We loved Chuck Green, Frank. And then...
Yeah, like, why?
They had to make another...
it didn't really make sense, I guess.
Well, remember, Frank is so, like... They had to make they had to make Dead Rising 2 again with Frank in it.
Oh, they did too.
Remember?
Case Zero?
Case West.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, Chuck's all right, but where's Frank?
Yeah.
You guys think Frank West is a good character?
What?
There's something likable about it.
I want to say I think he's more iconic. Charm.
Yeah.
Good. Fantastic.
Yeah. You're doing those voices again.
Good.
Fantastic. No,
you
said it twice.
You guys keep saying the same thing.
Yeah. Good. Like, just like he does.
Fantastic.
So why do you want this character
what's
in?
What's the one
PP plus 500.
When he takes the photos that are sexy, what does he say?
It's probably either good or fantastic.
No, I think it might be like, ooh.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well,
ooh.
Now in the new, I saw a walkthrough that was on, we were broadcasting, like he grabs people and he selfies with them.
Yeah, he does.
That's so great.
That feels very reckless in the world of zombies. Let me be honest.
Have you played Dead Rising? It's all very reckless.
Yeah.
He walks on their shoulders.
You can put on a foam Mega Man suit and shoot plastic balls at zombies.
Seems right? reckless.
It's a little reckless.
Yes. Seems reckless.
Yes, confirmed.
No regard, would not do that. No regard for undead life, that man.
Clementine would not do that.
No.
So anyway, among other things you can play in the month of December, Forza Horizon 3, which in my opinion is absolutely one of the best games of the year.
Best racer ever?
It's nice. Up there. I would say it's top five racing game ever.
What are the top two racing games ever?
Burnout 3 is number one. So if that's what you're fishing for.
Yeah.
And Mario Kart 8 is number two.
Mario Kart's on the...
Oh, that's true.
By the way, download Mario... Or not Mario. Burnout Paradise.
But anyway, I do think that Forza Horizon 3 would go on a racing game Mount Rushmore. There were four spots. It's Burnout 3.
I'm not allowed no Australia.
It's Forza Horizon 3.
Sorry, man.
It's whatever the best Mario Kart is.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm one of the GTs, maybe. Yeah, would go on
what about
there.
Project Gotham Racing.
What about?
I think Forza Horizon has sort of surpassed it now.
I agree.
What about Cruising USA?
No.
Oh dang.
What about The Crew? Everyone's favorite, The Crew.
Hey guys, it's me, The Crew.
which Need for Speed makes the list?
None of them.
Two.
Zero.
No, Mount Rushmore.
I really like OG Most Wanted.
Yeah, is it on Mount Rushmore?
I like Most Wanted also.
Yeah.
Build your own Mount Rushmore.
Wanda doesn't even know how many people are on Mount Rushmore.
You know how much land there is in... find another mountain in South Dakota. Right? It's fine.
How many people are on Mount Rushmore?
None.
Four, I think.
I don't know.
Yikes. Not now that Ryan's destroyed our dreams.
If she asked us about literally any Australian landmark, we would have no idea.
It's at the base of Uluru.
No, it's okay. Absolutely not.
All right, I try.
The entrance to Mordor.
It's in the middle of the desert. Never mind.
Forza Horizon 3 is really good, and it's hopefully about to get better, or at least more interesting. They have an expansion coming out on December 13th called Blizzard Mountain, which the big deal with this is that it adds snow, which Forza, in any version of Forza, has never had snow before.
That's pretty cool.
It took them a while to get rain. They got rain. And now, snow in Forza, which is going to be really awesome.
Your favorite thing is like the update to the game. And my favorite thing is that now people will know that it snows in Australia. And like, finally, people will believe me when I say it snows. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, dude.
The winter-themed expansion takes players to a snow-covered mountain and challenges them to compete in 50 new campaign challenges and events. Also includes 3 new race types, 28 new achievements, and 8 new cars. So that is going to be cool.
Hey.
Breaking news on my fake earpiece. The next update will be fall. Now they have all the seasons.
Do you guys have fall?
As a
do you guys
joke.
Do a good autumn?
We do autumn, yes. Fall is not a thing.
It's in the spring, though.
Spot
it is in the spring.
You do a good foliage?
Yeah.
Nice.
Plenty of foliage, yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thanks for letting me get away with that one, guys.
You got it.
They're just like, God damn it.
Finally, this one is for all you kids out there.
What?
Who,
what?
What?
Yeah.
This game's about, like,
this game's
about bagging
kids?
Out, dude.
But it's got kid graphics on a farm.
All right, I'm going to let you finish and then attack you.
Stardew Valley.
Glad I got away with what I
is coming to Xbox One on December 14th. This is
good for the whole family.
Yeah, it looks like 16-bit Zelda, and it's sort of part The Sims.
Yeah, Harvest Moon. It takes a lot of it's a farming life sim, but done to the extreme. Everyone who's played it in the office says it has perfected that 20-year-old genre.
I can't wait to try it.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to play it.
I played a couple of hours of it, and I'm very, very excited for it to come out so I can play the whole thing again. Like, yeah, absolutely.
I want to play this in Jared's pony game he was talking about today.
Pony Island?
Pony Island. That's what it's called.
Genuine Presents Pony Island.
Yeah.
By the way, Marty, did you say banging out?
Yeah.
Bang is that what the kids do
That's
now?
That's what the kids do.
Yeah, bang out.
Man. Great.
We were having a conversation about it earlier today where...
oh, really?
About banging out. where you can Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind in this game. Like the movie, so you can basically you can erase someone's memory of your entire relationship, because if you get divorced, then they treat you differently and it can be like an inconvenience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a pretty mature
thing. She wants alimony. So that's an inconvenience.
Yeah. Can we do your Eternal Sunshine noise one more time?
That was good.
Yeah. I'm really excited for Nier Automatica coming next year.
Have you guys played Nier?
Yeah.
No rules. Also a very good game.
Yeah. Heard it's good. All right. On that note, we go to the things that you can spend your money on. Destin Legarry, what can we spend our money on this week?
Finally, we can get Final Fantasy 15.
It's real.
Yeah, it exists.
And it's fantastic.
You can play it.
Well, it's great. It's great. I know. I got you. It's real. It's fantastic.
Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about boobs. Yeah.
What?
Get that.
Sorry, right on that. It was good.
What you said?
That's only 90s kids will remember that.
Marty, you probably know more about Final Fantasy than I do.
Yeah.
This is 10 years in the making.
10 years in the making, originally announced at, bless you, E3 2006.
Versus 2? Was that the original?
No, Final Fantasy versus 13.
That's it.
Announced on the same day as Final Fantasy 13, announced before the PlayStation 3 launched, announced just 6 months after the Xbox 360 launched. Finally out now, Vince gave it an 8.2.
Vince really dug it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm a couple hours into it. This is probably going to be my big winter break game.
In the same way.
So I've heard it described as a cross-country bromance.
Yeah.
People might think of that as a turnoff. Like, it's just, four dudes in a car having a bromance. But it's actually supposedly quite touching. So, like, they just
touch in the car during the bromance?
No, Vince said they don't kiss at all, which I'm
upset about. No smooching.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, I think, give it a chance. Like, try and take away any negative preconceptions you have towards
it. It's got a nice dog and a nice cat.
I hadn't even thought about it as four dudes hanging out in a car until you said it that way. And I was like, oh, that does make it sound bad. I had not even thought about it that way. I, like, thought of how big and pretty it is.
The first time Marty and I were in Tokyo and we saw them in a car, I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
It's this big, like, convertible pseudo-Cadillac thing that's... Yeah. Just like way too cool.
Yeah.
It's just a cool car.
I've heard very positive things from everybody who's played it though. So like I'm going to give it a chance and
Good. What else? I mean, not that
the crew ultimate edition is $50. You can get that digitally.
It's back.
The Mists of Ravenwood, $10, but a free trial is available.
I know, a terrible name.
Marketplace.
Not a good name for sure.
Trial edition of Pro Evolution Soccer 2017. Great. December's Games of Gold are Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition.
Still
December
great.
1st to 31st. Get that game.
Get that.
Yeah.
Outlast, December 16th
also good.
To January 15th. Outland. December 1st to 15th.
And
Burnout Paradise, the 16th to 31st. Get that one.
Also good.
Can't beat those.
You did a good... You've sort of reorganized how they're laid out, and I feel like it's easier to read.
It is
I appreciate
much better.
That is a copy and paste job from IGN.com.
Oh,
so
okay.
And I can't take credit for it, but I will.
Team there.
Yeah.
I see you've used the Enter feature on the keyboard now. Last time it was just a sentence, so it's good.
You know what? Screw you guys.
No, the show's evolving. It only took 3 years, but show's finally evolving.
All these backhanded slings and arrows.
Hey, Beyond's just going downhill, so trust me. I'm a big fan of this.
Oh, man. All right. That brings us to our trivia segment this week, where our winner is a gentleman. He's a longtime IGN fan, good guy. At least he's always cool on Twitter. His name is Nick Adami. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correct. Correctly. He's from Kirkland, Washington. So, Nick, we're going to need you to go spy on 343 Industries as well as Turn 10.
Is Bungie?
And Bungie's technically in Bellevue, but it's literally a stone's throw.
Yeah.
Bungie, you're going to have to spy on for us to get us all the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And let us know what they're up to. But Nick from Kirkland.
Ryan told me.
Bungie is actually near a gym.
Son of Sam situation.
He could go to the gym and totally
put a cup.
How do you know that?
I've been to Bungie like four times.
And the gym,
there is a gym right outside.
There's a gym. It's literally a gym.
Know that?
Like right next
I went to Bungie. I've been there a bunch of times.
The first.
It's a converted movie theater in a like basically a sort of small shopping complex. Yeah.
I don't even remember what's across the street here.
It's Bungie.
There's a Bungie's Chipotle. The gym. There's a Chipotle and Jamba Juice also nearby.
Shout
Did you know that
Bungie?
Your gym's connected to Nintendo?
What?
Yeah.
Pokemon gym.
I'm just saying it would be easier to spy on the one in a mall. That's it. Yeah.
Although, good luck getting past Jerome, the security guard.
Yeah. Remember when he had that hammer? Oh, you guys got to tell me about that hammer. I know, but I went there and I was very afraid. Their security guard is named Jerome and he has the hammer.
Super cool dude. Don't mess with him.
Don't cross him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Jerome
stay
is Bungie's Jerry.
Oh. We have Jerry.
No one understands what you just said except for us, but that's fine.
Wednesday.
Oh.
That's right. That's your Friday, three people.
And none of them are watching this show. But
Jerry probably.
Anyway.
Okay.
Nick from Kirkland tries to stump you guys with the following. In 2009, I'll give you an extra hint too. It's on April Fool's Day. What did Bethesda do to the infamous horse armor DLC for Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, which by the way is backwards compatible now? I'm looking for that remaster, that hot remaster.
Of the horse armor?
No, of Oblivion. Because if Skyrim sold well, I would love an excuse to go back. It checks off my rule of being old enough to remaster. It's 10 years old.
I can see that
happening. Fun fact.
I'd like more.
Bethesda releases horse armor. The internet loses their mind with anger in 2009. 2016, please let me buy horse armor.
Wait, that wasn't 2009. That was... in 2006.
It came out alongside the game in 2006, and then this was an April Fool's thing in 2009.
Responding.
So did they, on April Fool's 2009, did they give away horse armor for free to everyone? Did they reduce its effectiveness in the game? Did they double its price, or did they actually delist it? Did they remove it that day from the Xbox marketplace? Do you guys know the answer? I'll remind you that I believe Marty is 2 points ahead.
Oh, Mitch said I can have his points.
He did.
Yes.
Okay, so that is...
Thank you, Mitch.
I'll allow it.
It's a Mills Lane reference.
Unfortunately, I do not know the answer to this.
Thanks for that... what was
Blast from the Past, man. Yeah. Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah, that was it.
So that means Alana has, 16 points, tied with Destin. Suddenly
Team
with
Commonwealth.
Destin's also Canadian.
The two of you at 16 points, Marty at 18 points. So I will go to Destin first.
Can you not?
Can you
I
not?
I know it.
I will go.
Oh, good, because I don't know it.
Okay, this is good. I like where this is going. Nobody knows.
I know.
Anybody's game.
I'm going
Alana, what
to
do you think?
Guess B.
You're going to say that they reduced its effectiveness in-game
I'm
on
real
April
torn between B or C. So.
Okay.
C. You C.
You're going? C. Final answer, C, you think they doubled the price of it on April Fool's Day.
That seems legally difficult. Damn it, this is tough. I think it's B or C because A would be a
I'm going
to
come back to you.
April
Marty?
Yeah, given you said April Fool's Day, I don't think it's D. I don't think they delisted it, because I don't think that'd be a funny April Fool's Day. I don't think a lot of people would even know
it. Would be a pretty hot goof if they deleted it, though.
I feel like doubling its price would be very funny, but I also feel like it would be legally a little bit tough. So I'm going to go A, that they gave it away for free.
Destin. Oh.
Wait,
disagree with Monty, I'm just going to go B.
Oh, disagreeing
with you? Okay, so we have an A, we have a B. Destin?
It's C.
No!
You're going with C?
Yeah.
He is correct.
Damn it! That was
the
so
race
close.
Is tightened. Yeah, they actually doubled its price for a day because they,
is pretty funny.
It was so infamously like
pandered,
just so dumb of the horse armor, which by the way was one of the first DLCs ever.
It was like $8.
The first paid DLCs ever, because the original Xbox had DLC, but it was almost always free.
I don't remember what it was, but it was stupidly expensive.
I really didn't like it.
I think it was like $4 or something,
And they doubled it to $8.
That's insane.
So, Marty at 18 points, Destin with 17 points, Alana with 16 points, courtesy of the absorbing Mitch's soul.
The late, great Mitch Dyer.
The late, great Mitch Dyer.
I'm so glad Alana didn't look over here when she changed her answer, because we said, I'm going to go B. I was like...
We've got just a few more shows before that. I got to remember to bring the Essie trophy in here again on the new set. All right. Keep your questions coming, friends. Send them along with four multiple choice answers. Include the correct answer in your email. Send all that to unlocked@ign.com. And I've got cool prizes such as a lot of copies of Force Gears Armor. 1 through Judgment, but not 4. Any of the 360 Gears games. And then some kind soul, I wish I'd actually written it down, actually mailed us a copy of Overwatch for Xbox One to give away. So I'll see if Nick wants that. But if he doesn't, or if he already has it, it's going to be up for grabs. So Send in your Xbox trivia question, and we will play again as the race for the Essie Trophy comes down to its final weeks. Mm. On that note, it's time to leave because it's so late in the day.
Wow.
Normally we record right before lunch. Instead, it's right before dinner.
Better. Yeah. Gaudy.
What?
Game of the year.
Oh, well, that's why. Yes, that is why we...
John Gotti.
I kind of do want to mention how that was my first Game of the Year nomination meeting. And it's very interesting to see how that process works from IGN.
People will tweet me. Every year, I'll tweet that someone got stabbed. Or this year, my tweet was the Westworld tweet of Dolores standing around a field of dead bodies. And people always want to know, hey, you guys should record that and put it up after... It's that's one of those sausage-making things that you think you want to see it, but you don't really want to see it.
I really don't want any meeting I'm ever in to be recorded.
That too.
And then people would be worried about, what people think when they hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm just pretty reckless during
meetings.
You did threaten a number of coworkers during that.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Yeah,
I kind of lumped a lot of people in with some bad groups. Yep. Yeah, it wasn't
great. I just want to paint how seriously it's taken.
It is taken very seriously.
A lot of people don't realize that. They think we just throw it on something and
or go by scores and spreadsheets alone. Nope. It's not that at all. There's a lot taken into consideration. So we will have our Game of the Year nominees publicly posted sometime before Christmas, I think, and then the actual awards are going to be done first thing in the new year.
That gives us the break to catch up, fill in any holes.
Make sure, yeah, absolutely.
Filling in.
Marty Sliva,
yes.
What are you up to? Where can we find you? What are you doing?
You can find me at Mick Biggity on various social medias. And I know it's the Xbox podcast, but I will be at PSX this weekend. So if any of you guys are in Anaheim and you see me, say hi.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then can we say what you're working on? Because even though it's not Xbox, it's a historically interesting.
I'm working on the Last Guardian review, which is very interesting for the fact that in 1 week we are getting two games that have been 10 years in development.
When's that post?
That will post at 7 a.m. Pacific time on Monday morning.
Nice. Looking forward to finding out what 10 years looks like.
Yeah.
When it finally gets into your hands.
Just Google 10-year-old child.
So you're saying most of the time we're playing infants, but this time we're
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Alana now.
Hey. Are you wearing a Marvin the Martian shirt?
Yeah.
Are you a Florida mother of four?
What is this yes. on the
other side? Oh, Looney, is it Toons Fans, on the other side? Nice.
Very good shot. Thank you. I am at Charalanazad on various social medias, and I'm currently working on a bunch of Batman toys feature stuff, which is really cool. We got a 32-inch Batwing from DC that's just the most beautiful thing in the world.
It's ridiculous.
The series one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Batmobile, they're both absolutely amazing. We'll have a gallery and videos off of those soon. And I've been writing cool space stuff. One's about NASA needs help figuring out how to let astronauts poop in space. That's exciting. And another one is they're currently doing fire testing in space for fire safety, and they've been recording videos of how
oxygen in space.
Fascinating. You should read about it on IGN.com.
How can there be fire?
There is fire in space.
I can't handle this right now.
I'm excited for the next free-to-play game, Fire Space. Or Space Fire.
I'd play that. Yeah. Space Fire exclamation mark, but I don't think Andrew would let me do that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Destin?
So last week we talked about how I stream on Twitch. This is where I'm playing a ton of Mass Effect 2 right now. I'm almost all the way through 2. Marty's playing 1 at work.
How's the Mass Cast coming along?
Going really well, but people encourage me to actually promote. So twitch.tv/thedestin channel. A lot of people from the Unlocked audience popped over there.
Nice.
Thanks for popping over and supporting.
Excellent.
It's like my part-time job, basically, after work. So that's what I do now, and I still love playing games. And I'm playing through Mass Effect.
Cool. Yeah, my part-time job has become this Tesla podcast that I do, but it's a lot of fun. I love covering it. It's healthy to have an interest outside of video games, outside of work, and It so happens I chose one of the, you know, something I can't afford.
Yeah.
It's like that I happen to love. But yeah, it's called Ride the Lightning if you're curious about cars and specifically electric ones. You can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. This isn't my project, but I should mention to our Xbox audience, also Monday morning, I forget what time, the Dead Rising 4 review
I think it's even earlier than mine, so I think it's going to be up
by the time you wake up wherever you live on Monday. It's probably going to be posted on IGN. Brandon Tyrell handling that one, our one of our fifth chairs, one of our handful of fifth chairs here on the show.
I'm excited to play that game.
Me too. I really cannot wait to dive in. I've always enjoyed Dead Rising. It's just there's something about it. It's got a formula to it that just works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I played an hour at Comic-Con a while ago, and it was a much lighter tone than 3, which I liked.
Yeah. Good.
I played an hour at No Longer Embargoed Event number 14, and I liked it.
Nice. Yeah.
Good game. Destin Legary of IGN.com says, all right. So,
Box quote.
For Marty, Alana, and Destin, I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This was Podcast Unlocked. Oh, my. 273 already. Oh, that means I have to start thinking about 300 before too long and actually doing something, you know, putting in some effort.
No pressure?
You should probably do that.
So much
that
pressure.
Would be good.
Put an effort.
The more it's planned, the better it turns out. Maybe we can get Phil to come down here for it and figure something out.
When will that be?
Maybe we can have like a town hall with Phil.
Okay.
I shouldn't be thinking out loud where people are going to take my ideas and assume that they're going to happen.
Okay, just don't show me up because I have to plan a 500th episode. And I haven't started that yet.
But
that's... A 500th should be better than a 300th.
That's why I said don't show me up, because I haven't started yet.
Fair enough.
I'm going to get Phil for my 500th episode, to be honest.
If you can convince Shuhei...
To come on yours?
Yeah.
Yes! Okay, I like it.
Tell him...
Break the internet.
Tell him can you tell his PR people that I really want to have him on Unfiltered?
I'll see him this weekend.
That'd be great.
I would love that. Yeah.
He says on Twitter he would like to do it.
What if you got Kojima?
That would be great as well. He's going to be in LA, but I won't be. Yeah.
I will.
Oh, you don't put out a lot of games on Xbox.
Hey, Phantom Pain came out. Revenge of
the Oh, no, you're right. Him. You're right.
It's just not anymore. Yeah. I mean, you know,
I'm thinking PS2.
It is what it is. Yeah. Well, and 2016 forward.
But actually, all those games came out. I'm an idiot. Never mind.
Metal Gear Solid 2 came out eventually on the original Xbox. It happened. Yeah. And then
you guys are right. I'm wrong.
Whatever.
Stopping. I'm done.
Enjoy Metal Gear on whatever platform you want. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I...
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
Save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.